Genesis chapter 41. We begin in that chapter because last week we ended on 40, recognizing that we should not be a dimmer switch. How many of you were successfully applying that truth this week and you were not a dimmer switch? Let me see how many of you have succeeded. That is wonderful. How many of you have been challenged not to be a dimmer switch? Yeah, it's so easy to just turn that light down. This morning we're going to learn how it is important that you and I become an outlet of God's blessings. This world is full of darkness. How many of you would agree with that? But God has told us to be a light and a blessing to this world. The world may challenge us, the Christians who follow according to the word of God and walk according to the word of God, and we are being under severe attacks. But I want to tell you this morning, before we get into this message, that this world does not understand. If the church of Jesus Christ would be taken out of this world immediately, you would descend into chaos almost overnight. The only thing that keeps this world afloat is the light of God and the blessings of God. Deserved or undeserved, does not matter. And so we're going to have to stay a little bit longer to keep this world afloat. And we are here to be an outlet of God's blessings. Again, we're going to look at Joseph and how God prepared him for rulership and how he progresses that educational process so that he actually can be what God wants him to be in the position and the blessing God wants him to be. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood at the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamt a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on 1 stalk, plumb and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed, it was a dream. I will call it was a nightmare, but it says it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day, when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. We each dreamt a dream in one night, he and I. Each of us dreamt according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass just as he interpreted for us. So it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved and changed his clothing, and he came to Pharaoh. Listen to the next few verses. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamt a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. We will stop right there for now, because there are a few questions I have which we have to eventually find the answer in the book. One of them is, why do you think Joseph was put in the dungeon on being left there for 2 years after he asked the butler to remember him when he gets released. A second question I have is, why does God choose to use Pharaoh, to give Pharaoh a dream, an idol worshiper, a man who himself considered to be a god in Egypt, demanding worship by his people? Why does God choose to give him a dream? Why didn't he give it to Joseph directly? And the third question I would have is, why does God move at this particular time Joseph from prison right into the palace? Some good questions. The answer is a pretty simple one to all three questions, because that was God's plan all along. So now let's apply that before we go into the story. Why are you sitting here in this church? Why is it today and not 5 years ago? So now I get you off the hook, because God spoke to you 5 years ago, but you were rebellious, correct? No, it was God's plan all along. How many of you know it is crucially important that we understand that God has not just a plan, but he knows when to implement it? He knows exactly what he is doing. Some call that theologically God's sovereignty. But what does that mean, God's sovereignty? It's a big theological word. It means that God has a very specific plan and purpose and has got the power to implement it. That's what that means. When God does something, it is always perfect in his wisdom and in its perfect timing. Every detail is worked out exactly he wants it. And you probably tell me, but I don't like how he works details into my life in order to get me there. Listen, my friends, that's God's prerogative, that's God's business. You and I just have to follow him. It's that simple. How many of you would like to be ruled by someone who keeps all his blessings he has received to himself? Again, no takers. Why? Because God is blessing every one of us, and he has designed that we are not keeping them for ourselves, but we become a outlet where people can plug into it, to use an electrician's term. And once they plug in, they should receive the blessing which you and I have received, so they know that there is a God who can do anything perfect. One of the greatest tragedies I believe any church can ever fall into it is seeing the hand of God, seeing the blessings of God, receiving it, embracing it, praising him for it, but then trying to keep it in the four walls. We can't do that. This church is simply another outlet of God where people can plug in and receive the blessings of God. Because how many of you know this world is desperate for the blessings of God? They may not know it. They may not understand it. But how many of you have ever put a device into an outlet and you don't know how it worked until you plugged it in? That's the same thing with God's blessings. These people don't know in the world how the blessings of God work normally, but once they plug into it, they're going to see how it works. So you and I are not the ones who produce the power. We are not the one who produce the outlet. We are the outlet. We simply have to be available that people can plug into it, and then they will receive what God has for them. There's no such thing as the power company getting in the morning into the office and decide, I am going to decide who is going to get what through our outlets. You would say, that's crazy. That's only how churches work. They provide the power and the outlet, and then whatever people plug into it should work. That's exactly how the church should function. And we're going to see in Joseph's life, that's exactly how Joseph was used by God in that particular time of God's plan for the Jewish people and for the world. When Jesus came on the scene, God sent him down here to fulfill a task. And Jesus knew exactly why he was here. And the Bible tells us that he came here in the fullness of time. And then when he walked the first time into a religious house of worship, which for the Jewish people was a synagogue, the attendant handed him a scroll, which was the scroll of Isaiah. And Jesus opened it. No, Jesus didn't open it up. The attendant opened it up for him. His job was to read it. It's almost like what we do here. When we hand somebody the microphone, the only condition that you can read the scriptures in this church is, can you read? If you can read and hold a microphone, you're a candidate. So then we hand you the microphone, and you don't know what you're going to get, correct? Then we put it up there, and you read the scriptures. You just become an outlet, correct? And then Jesus got that book. If you go with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 18, here is described what Jesus said. And this is exactly what you and I have to learn to be. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Question, if you are a born-again believer, do you think the Spirit of the Lord is working in you? Yes. Amen to that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. How many of you feel like there are a lot of oppressed people around us? The lot of spiritually blind people around us. Jesus has anointed his people with the Holy Spirit to do this. This. Not to sit in churches and keep it all for yourselves. That's not our job. This. And he went out and did it. He didn't just read it. He actually went out and he did use his anointing to preach the gospel to the poor, to lay his hands on the sick. Those who were blind, spiritually and physically, he opened their eyes. And he did help the oppressed. How would you think how he fed 5,000 people out of almost nothing? He was concerned. So to preach deliverance to those who are captives and recovery of sight to the blind is not something which you and I can do unless you are willing to plug into the source, which is the power of the Holy Spirit in you and me. Every time I preach a sermon on the power of the Holy Spirit, people get nervous and they say, I think the guy is a Pentecostal. Somebody told me that this week. And I said, can you explain that to me? No, I said, let me tell you what a real Pentecostal is, a biblical Pentecostal. A biblical Pentecostal is somebody who is filled with the Holy Spirit and uses the word of God to preach to the people. Anything else is religious garbage. Are you a Pentecostal?
Yes.
If you are filled with the Holy Spirit and the word of God is taking a hold of you and you live accordingly, absolutely. Man has taken that name, put a denominational label on it, and then puts all the crazy things out there and think if we flip backwards in the pews and walking up and down and do crazy things, I'm a Pentecostal. No, you're just a crazy person. Pentecostal simply means the Holy Spirit has been given to you and you are walking in the power of God and not yourself. How many outlets do you have in your house that work if you are disconnected from the power? That's how so many Christians are. It's a good-looking outlet. It has a phenomenal little cover on it. It sits on the right spot in the kitchen. And when the woman wants to use it, it's worthless. And she said, that thing does not work. She just told me that the other day. I said, I go downstairs and flip the breaker because you flipped it. There was power. Wouldn't that be wonderful if in God's people's lives, when you come in here, I see that you trip the breaker. How many of you tripped the breaker this week? And I could just flip it, and you guys would be on fire for God again. It just doesn't work that way because that's the Holy Spirit's job. See? So we're going to look at four blessings we ought to be when we are in this world that only can come through God. But He's using His people to bless others with. The first one is the blessing of God's timing. We just read the first 14 verses, the first 14 one, I believe. Yeah, 14. And people sometimes forget when we read that, that in it is an introductory that should make you stop for a second. And that is that the butler, in the presence of Pharaoh, forgot the promises he made to Joseph 2 years earlier. When I get out, I tell my master that you are in here and what a good person you are and you have the legal right to get out of there. I'll stand in on behalf of you. Did he do it?
No.
No, he didn't, for 2 years. How many of you have ever received a promise from somebody, then you find out they didn't do it? Did Joseph make a public complaint about it? It's not recorded. Consider this. Somebody may have made a promise to you and they did not fulfill it. Could it be that the timing is off? Could it be that these people made a promise but God's timing is not yet to fulfill it? In this particular case, that's exactly what happened. Could the butler have said to Pharaoh that these Hebrew slaves should be released? Absolutely. But God did not let him because his timing was not yet. God had a different plan. God wanted to reach to Pharaoh that Joseph would get out of jail without having to go back to Potiphar where he came from, but makes it right into the palace. And sometimes God's timing is such that you and I have to just trust him that the promises which he makes will come true in his timing. In his timing. This is not easy. Now was the time for Joseph. How many of you would have to say, God's timing is always perfect? Yeah, I don't think you believe it. Now, turn quickly in the Pentecostal. How many of you believe God's timing is always perfect?
Amen.
Okay, thank you. Listen. There are things in your life you're waiting for a long time, and they have not come to pass. Well, my answer to you is, trust God and His timing. How many people get way too early in their life into relationships, get married, but outside of God's timing? How many people go to college, which they have chosen outside of God's timing, only to find out they spent 4 years for worthless things, and then they do something entirely different than what they studied? How many people have entered professional ministry, and they went ahead outside of God's timing? It blesses nobody. What the true blessing is to any one of you in here and the people which we touch with our lives is when God's timing is perfect. Let me turn that around. How many of you have ever experienced that you just happen to be at the right time, at the right place where God used you, and you go away and say, wow, what a blessing. How many of you have experienced that? That was God's timing. I told a young man this week, I said, everything that's going on in your life is not by coincidence or accident. God doesn't major in coincidences and he doesn't create accidents. Every time that's going on, anything in your life that blesses somebody, it's God doing it and it's his timing. How many of you are amazed what God is doing as we build this new worship center? I love to tell the people the stories, not because I want to brag or anything, but I love to see their reaction. How many of you have ever experienced that? It's just so wonderful to see on the faces when you tell them, we want to do these things God's way and God's timing. And that's when God makes us a blessing to others. Timing, timing, timing. I wonder why I stayed so long in California, wasting away my life, and I should have been in Iowa long earlier. God's timing. God's timing. In the book of Galatians, Paul is telling us that Jesus came to this earth in the fullness of time. Go with me to Galatians quickly. Let's read it. 4-7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. How many of you know his timing is perfect? Absolute perfect. Look on. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We love to read that thing that we are inheriting all the goodies. But how many of you know this is directly connected with who we are today and what we should be today? That's why he sent the Holy Spirit, so that he can use us, because he has other people which still need to be redeemed. And some of them are sitting right in your own families. And in the fullness of time, I tell the people normally when they say, how did you come to the Lord? I said, humbly, broken. And he put you down on your knees. And I was always searching, because I knew there was something more. And my wife and I one day looked at each other and said, why did nobody tell us about Jesus when we were still in the old home country? And I looked at her and said, God's timing. Timing was not there. God's timing. In the fullness of time. When you and I so desperately would like to bring somebody to the Lord, how many of you have recognized how devastating that could be sometimes? It's frustrating. Because we have our timing, and God has his. We can't force it. I do not believe in forced conversion. That's Islam. That's not Christianity. We don't force anybody. God, the Holy Spirit, pulls them in. And then in the fullness of time, he'll make it happen. You and I can be day and night on our knees and crying, God, to God, to make an end and to wrap up these ages and to bring us home. But that will happen in the fullness of time. How many of you are glad that God's got that on his calendar and you can't change it? In the fullness of time, Joseph stood before Pharaoh, because God had a very specific plan. And the blessing is only available when we do it in God's timing. The second blessing, which we're going to learn about, is the blessing of God's wisdom. Oh, I could preach probably 5 sermons on that, but let's just look at our story here, because the ultimate purpose is for you to remember that God is training us for leadership. How many of you like to work for a fool? No takers? Or one of them, okay. Well, the Bible calls you then a fool too. None of us wants to work for a fool. We want to work for somebody who has wisdom in their decisions they are making, correct? Let me reveal something to you. There is not an institution on this planet who can give you godly wisdom. They can give you knowledge, but no godly wisdom. Wisdom comes from the Word of God. This nation right now and its leadership makes all these foolish decisions because they don't want to have God's wisdom in the process of making decisions. You will eventually reap the foolish decisions. But you and I have to learn there's God's wisdom. And when you drop down to verse 15, and Pharaoh looked at Joseph, he said, I have dreamt a dream. And there is no one who can interpret it. That's the most powerful man on the planet at that time, the ruler of the Egyptian Empire. He said, I can't find anybody. He called them all. no access. And he himself demanded worship from his people because they considered him to be God, but he didn't have the answer. Does that tell you something? But I have heard said of you, and he's looking at that slave, that you can do these things. And then God says to Joseph, it is not in me. Remember the power outlet? The outlet would say, it is not in me. If that outlet is disconnected, it's a worthless little device. It's not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Joseph understood, speaking by the Spirit of God, that God had a very specific purpose why he stood before Pharaoh, and he was not about ready to take that glory away from God. He said, Pharaoh, you are asking for something only God knows the answer. How many of you would be much better off if you would have that attitude than sometimes our attitude? Nobody knows as much as I do. Nobody has the power like I do. Nobody prays like me. Nobody gives money like me. That attitude is not a channel of God's power. We're tooting our own horn. Joseph understood it because he had God's wisdom flowing to him. Speaking like Joseph is biblical speaking. Listen, when somebody brags to be great, nobody wants to be around them. Do you know what I'm talking about? If somebody brags about what they have done, people flee. Why? It's not a blessing. That's why. When you know that the wisdom of God flows to you, you know that you have nothing on your own. Let me tell you what Jesus said. Apart from me, would you please finish it? Apart from me, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Absolutely. True blessings flow from God's wisdom. God, look at verse 32. Let's drop down to 32. Joseph speaking. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because of the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. He literally looks at the ruler of the empire and says, you had a dream. God gave it to you. He gave it to you twice because he's about ready to do it. And Pharaoh, if you like it or not, there's nothing you can do about it. Wow. God's wisdom. You obviously say, okay, I would like to have wisdom like Joseph had. How in the world can I get it? Pastor, can you hand it out to me and $500 at the end of the sermon and I buy it from you? This is what gold and silver cannot buy. Aren't you glad? There is no currency on this planet that can buy God's wisdom. Go with me to Proverbs briefly. I'll give you just a couple of them. Proverbs is full of instructing us about God's wisdom. 16:16 says, how much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. There is not enough money in this world to even buy an ounce of God's wisdom. It always mind-boggles me, and I want you to understand me clearly. I'm not against education at all. I myself have plenty of it. But I want you to know, no matter how well we're educated, that is not wisdom. That is simply knowledge. Should we be knowledgeable? Absolutely. But that knowledge, if God's wisdom is not being applied to apply that knowledge, becomes nothing but a prideful idea of what we can do and then say, well, God did it at the end. This is not the way it works, my friend. Nothing can do it. Do you see that little outlet there? Isn't that cute? That's you. That's you. It has to be connected. Proverbs 9, 10, and 11 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. How many of you believe that's exactly what God says? Wisdom. I heard one of the greatest atheists making an announcement this week. You probably heard it too. I am an atheist because I can prove God does not exist. And I read it and I thought, there is a real socialized idiot right there. He's looking at God and say, I know you don't exist. Where do you think he came from? Well, if he comes from slime, that's okay. That allows me to step on him tomorrow. But if he's God's creation, I can't. People desperately trying to disconnect from God because they know they are fools and God has the wisdom and they don't want to submit to God's wisdom. You and I have to follow that advice. That's how we get God's wisdom. There is nothing greater for you and me to dig into the Word of God, opening the book of Proverbs every day and see what the wisdom of God is instructing us how to live. You can add to your life. Wow, can you believe that? How many of you would like to be old? I mean, one day. Man, you guys are
already there.
Already there, good, thank you, Bill. A few more years coming if you behave. God gives us understanding how to do these things. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. Remember, they sold him into slavery when he was 17 years of age? He's now 30 years old. Okay, the big mathematician in my midst, how many years was he not there where he's supposed to be? No, this is an adult speaking. You guys know mathematics? Huh? Well, they're still crunching the numbers. 13 years somewhere where God says, I am going to teach you. Do you know how long he was prime minister in Egypt? Exactly 80 years after that. Joseph died when he was 110 years old. He was 80 years in power of Egypt. Using God's wisdom to keep that nation and God's people alive. What an awesome God we serve. The Bible obviously tells us, go quickly to 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul, I think one of the greatest and brightest minds God has ever brought onto this planet, said this, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that they may become wise. That doesn't mean that you have to act like an idiot. Some of you sometimes succeeding. That simply means that you have to come to a place that, to acknowledge that you don't have the wisdom, but you are hungry for it. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are? That means the worldly wise people. Therefore, let no one boast in man. You have to mark that in your Bible. Let no one boast in man. We have nothing to boast of anything except what God allows us to do. That's it. For all things are yours. Listen to this. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world of life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Do you know why Paul is writing that to the Corinthians? Let's do a little Bible study here. Do you know why Paul is writing that? Because that was a church who wanted to start the first denomination. Well, they wanted to have more than one denomination. Some of them said, we are of the denomination of Cephas, that's Peter. Others said, we are followers of Paul. Others said, oh, no, I want nothing to do with that. I'm an Apollyon, you know. I'm a follower of Apollos. And Paul said, what in the world is going on with you? There was only one who died for you, and it's none of them. You are Christ. You don't belong to a denomination. I know I'm going to get flack for that, but let me say it again. There is not a denomination who owns a soul on this planet. You belong to Christ because he paid for you. Anything according to Paul is foolishness. It's worldliness. Sometimes I get my blood pressure up when I ask somebody, are you a Christian? And I say, I am. They put a label on it. And you should see me. I can't stand it. Because it is an affront to what Christ has done. We are Christians. We are children of the living God, where the Holy Spirit is taking control of it. How many of you would like to plug into a Baptist outlet? How many of you would like to plug into any other outlet? No, I want to plug into the outlet of God, where the Holy Spirit saps me and gives me the power to do the work of God. In heaven, there will be no compartments, no denominations, only children of the living God. That's it. The Bible says everything else is foolishness. The wisdom of God is a blessing to this world, but the foolishness of the splitting apart the body of Christ is absolute foolishness. How many times have you heard people say to you when you witness to them, well, tell me something, why are there so many different denominations? And the answer I give them is, because men are fools. That's why. Christ has only one church. There are people of God sitting in every denomination. Praise God for that. And we don't have to be a part of that. We just need to be born again believers. And for that you could say hallelujah. That's it. That's a blessing. Let me give you a third blessing. It's a blessing of God's counsel. As Joseph stands before Pharaoh, Joseph interprets the dream and he tells him, I can do these things because God is doing it. God is giving me the wisdom to do so. Then in verse 33, Joseph gets into action. He was not asked to do so, but he knew that Pharaoh was speechless. And listen, Joseph understood that Pharaoh did not have the wisdom to deal with the situation. How did he know? If Pharaoh would have had the wisdom of God, then Pharaoh would not have had to ask Joseph to come. But God decided that Joseph is in charge and not Pharaoh. He says, now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Listen carefully. Don't misread this. This is not a pitch for a position on Joseph's part. Joseph simply speaks the wisdom of God that the situation that is coming upon Egypt demands God's wisdom and the man who has that wisdom. He had no clue that God pointed the finger at him. He was not applying for a job. Then he goes on to say, let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce. How many of you would like to say, our United States of America would be much better off if we only would have to pay 20% taxes of everything we ever do? Are you there? How many of you think we would be better off? You love to pay 75% of your income taxes, do you? Obviously looks like to me. This was an emergency in Egypt. And Joseph said, we can handle this emergency with 20%. That's all I need. 20% we can handle and feed the entire world. Wow. If you do it right, and you give the resources into the hands of a man with God's wisdom. And that we're missing. And he goes on to say, and let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming, and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. Counsel. Counsel, counsel, counsel. God's counsel. What did Pharaoh say to them? Let me consult my magicians or my wise man who couldn't give me the answer to the dream to begin with. Is that what he said? No. That's right. He looked at him and said, the key is there. Look at the next verse. 38 actually. Can we find such a one as this? A man, and here's the clincher, in whom is what? That comes from the mouth of one of the greatest pagans who calls himself God. And he says, the God who has that kind of wisdom is more powerful than me. Where can we find a man where the Spirit of God is in him? Do you think this world needs still men like this? Amen. Worse than ever. Where can we find men and women where the Spirit of God is still at work? And if that's happening, my friend, and God places you somewhere, and you become that outlet, the world is blessed by your counsel. Let me warn you about something. I don't know if you like it or not, but it doesn't matter, as you well know. It is the truth. Never ever, when somebody has a problem to solve, give them psychological counseling. They need spiritual counseling. The word psychology means soulish. Psycho is a Greek word, means soul. How many of you like to get some soulish garbage? I like spiritual truth. It hurts, but it feels good and it heals. It's not a blessing when we introduce into the churches all the psychological garbage, when we have so many problems. Give him the Spirit of God and the wisdom of God in that situation. Speak the truth in love and it will set the captives free. We don't have that luxury to go in circles and let people suffer and suffer with worldly counsel. We need to give them biblical counsel. Don't be afraid to open the Word of God. Don't be afraid to speak what God says. When they say, well, I don't need this, you simply have a person who is refusing to plug in. That's it. There's nothing you can do about it. Go your way and look for somebody who's willing to plug in. It's that simple. But don't fall into that trap. I read every week material that is being sent to me where our churches in America are by droves going down the wrong path. And the people are hurting more and more and more. My friend, if God sets you free from that, the Holy Spirit can work. Look what Jesus said when just before he left. He looked at his disciples. He saw that they were scared to death because they were only as strong as the master around them, correct? And if you open up your Bible to the Gospel of John, Jesus starts telling them, I'm leaving you. Chapter 14, I'm leaving you. But don't worry about it. And he didn't say, I'm going to establish a phenomenal university in Jerusalem which you have to attend for the next 6 years, make a master's degree, and you will learn everything there is to learn. Is that what he said?
No.
Why didn't he say that? That's what we do. He said, I tell you what, you need a helper. And that helper is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. And he will teach you a few things which you need to learn. Is that what your Bible says?
All things.
All things. He will teach us all things and bring to remembrance everything Christ has ever said. At the right moment, he will give us that wisdom and we will be an outlet for the world to hear it. At the right time. People sometimes ask when you preach, you have everything written out, correct? That would be 25 pages, I assume. No, when you speak the Word of God and the Holy Spirit takes over, he brings to remembrance the things you've studied. There's a huge reservoir in here of God's Word. I love God's Word. The Bible says I have to eat it. Wow, I do. I love it. Not the pages, but the wisdom revealed in it. That's what that means. Jesus goes on to say in chapter 16, he said, however, You know, the disciples were still trembling in their boots, correct? They're, oh yeah, we get it. But. And Jesus said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Only the Holy Spirit knows these things. Man does not know. So when Joseph stood before Pharaoh, who told Joseph that there are good years and bad years coming? Listen, I never got a revelation like this looking at cows. Never. How did you come up with this kind of interpretation, just looking at cows? I grew up milking cows by hand. Never had such a revelation. It's the wisdom of God, the Holy Spirit. And it turned out to be a phenomenal blessing as Joseph can counsel Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, you're in trouble. Do you know what you and I was reading this story over and over this week, and I was thinking, Lord, I can never be where Joseph was. After 13 years, such treatments, being in jail for nothing I've done, I would have said, Pharaoh, you have it coming. There are 7 good years, and after that, you're going down in a handbasket. And praise God for it. I would have told him, thus saith the Lord. Because don't you think he deserved it? That was a wicked nation. You know what Joseph says? He counsels Pharaoh and says, Pharaoh, there are good times come, 7 years. Don't eat it all. Prepare. Right on the heel of 7 good years, 7 bad ones are coming. And you have to feed your people. He literally sticks the finger at Pharaoh and said, your responsibility as a leader of Egypt is to feed your people. Wouldn't it be good to have leaders like this today? Yeah. Knowing that we are actually the ones who should receive blessings. God, obviously, in the whole process, looks at his little flock over on the other side, across the border, which has yet to come down to Egypt to feed them and to strengthen them and to keep them 400 years in Egypt to bring them back out and do God's work. Counsel. What a blessing. Look next what Pharaoh says. This is the blessing of God's authority. Look at verses 41 to 44. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. How many of you would have had a heart attack? You just came out of prison. And Pharaoh looks at him and said, you are the man. And look what he does. He backs it up. Not just speaking words, but he backs it up. He said, Pharaoh took his signet ring off of his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. A signet ring was every decree that was issued by Pharaoh was applied hot wax. And the wax was worthless unless the seal was imprinted before it dried up. And it was law. That was Pharaoh's prerogative. He was the ruler. He takes the ring off, gives it to Joseph, who was a few hours before in jail. And says to him, from now on, you're making all these decrees. All authority and all power I have, I place into your hands. Whatever you say, whatever you do, the people will have to do. I give you the second chariot. He was in the first. He said, I give you the second chariot to ride in. I give you the rope where everybody has to acknowledge your royalty. And whenever they see Joseph in a public place, they have to bow down and do homage to Joseph. It's all yours. Do you know that's exactly what Jesus did with you and me? Go with me to Matthew 28. Let's read it together. You have read these scripture verses over and over, but you haven't gotten the full brunt of the revelation. Listen to this. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. What is giving us the power? Do you know what authority means? He gave us the authority to speak on his behalf, to go into the world on his behalf, to represent him, and people will have to bow down to that word if they like it or not. They can choose if they one day stand before him, forgiven, redeemed, and blessed, or if they reject him and have to face him as the judge. The authority to preach that word is given to you and me. Read on. Make disciples of a few nations. Is that what your Bible says? I thank God that around the world we have people listening to our messages here via the internet. All the nations. How many of you are glad that God has tools he can reach into the farthest corners of this world? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe whatever they like. Oh, we have to teach them to observe all things that he has commanded us. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Christ said, you can't do that. You need me. That's why he said, without me, you can't do nothing. He authorized us, and when we go out, and we are the outlet, the power behind it is Christ. And he will touch the people. The problem is today in churches, my friend, we are many times not wanting to be the blessing to the communities, to the places where God sent us, because we refuse that somebody we may not like to plug into it, because we think they don't deserve it. Let me share with you. There's not a single person sitting in these pews who deserves it. It's all given by the grace of God. The Holy Spirit was given to you and me for one purpose. That people can plug in and receive what he has for them. We have to tell the people. This is not a time to sit around. This is a time to become an outlet of God's power. You should not be afraid to pray with people when they have a need. Could be at the sidewalk. Don't say, come on Sunday to church. Maybe if the pastor has a good day, he lays his hands on you. Don't go there. The power is in you. So we can pray right now here. Do what God tells you to do and become the outlet. And if somebody is willing to plug in, let God take over. He will make that thing go, not you and me. So we become a blessing to this community. We become a blessing to the world around us. We become the outlet of God's power and God's blessings. And that's exactly what Joseph is teaching us here. He becomes the greatest blessing Egypt has ever seen. He is saving that nation from starvation, spiritually as well as physically. Because God used him. Is there a man like this, where the Spirit of God dwells? And the answer is, there are millions on this earth. We better use it. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Joseph is such a wonderful example. And thus, your son Jesus was teaching us. All these things in the Old Testament are written for us. Paul later on said, for our learnings, for our admonition. May we learn from Joseph. May we can stand before mighty people and not so mighty people. We can look at them and say, whatever your problem is, it's not in me. But the thing which you need to know must come from God. God has the answer. Lord, may we have your wisdom flowing to us as we speak. May we have godly counsel flowing to us as people need it. The authority you have given us, Lord, maybe don't put it in a closet, but use it for your glory. We thank you for it. We lift you up. And we're asking you to remind us all week long that we are simply the outlet. You are the power behind it. And we thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people can say,